Yeshua met Jesus, this mysterious figure, this captain of the Lord's hosts, wasn't just an ordinary man, it was someone else. There was Joshua, an Israelite. There were the Canaanites, the inhabitants of Jericho. And Joshua just asked this man, who are you? And he was neither Israelite nor Canaanite. He was someone entirely different, as we'll see as we open this up. But these verses are an example of chapter 1 and verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And there are two verses in the very first chapter of Joshua where Joshua is being reassured of the Lord's presence with him as he has succeeded Moses in leading the children of Israel, which Moses was prevented from doing, into the land of Canaan. According to John MacArthur, Joshua was maybe around 90 years old at this point. He wasn't a young man. He was 90 years of age, according to him. We're talking about 1,400 years before Christ, before Jesus was incarnated, before God was incarnated in Christ, and yet here he is, an appearance in the Old Testament. Joshua means Jehovah saves, or the Lord is salvation, and Jesus is a variation of that. So you can picture the scene. Israel is on the border and on the brink of entering the promised land, the land that has been promised to Israel. Jericho is the gateway into the promised land. They have to get past Jericho. Jericho seems to be the huge obstacle in the way. And there's no doubt when it says here in verse 13 of chapter 5, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. What's he doing there by Jericho? He's having a good look at Jericho. He's seeing this huge obstacle in the road of progress. From a human point of view, he's maybe looking at it and wondering, how are we going to overcome this city? How are we going to get past this? And as he's turning this over in his mind, that's when he sees this stranger that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man opposite him. And the man had a sword drawn in his hand. So he would have been dressed as a soldier. The first thing that we want to see is the apparent difficulty. Jericho was the difficulty. Joshua was looking at what was visible to the eye, the city of Jericho. And maybe he's wondering, as one has put it, the purpose of this verse is to describe the seemingly helpless situation confronting Israel, a people unskilled in the kind of warfare that was now required. They weren't used to battles and to warfare. They had done very little of that. And the first verse of chapter 6 just paints for us a picture of what Joshua was looking at. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. In chapter 2 of the story there of the spies who were sent, and where were they sent to? They were sent to Jericho. There they were given a place by Rahab. Rahab's background was immoral, but she had come to a knowledge of the true God of Israel. But that background still just stuck to her. And she's one of the heroes of faith, isn't she? In Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Rahab. She had faith in God. Some Bible commentaries give a picture of what Jericho was like, and the main emphasis seems to be on its walls. The walls were massive. They were very high, they were very broad, very thick for security purposes. It was securely shut up. So from chapter 2 through to chapter 6, that was Jericho. It was securely shut up. Nobody went out. Nobody came in. People were just self-isolating in the city, if you want to use that term, because of the threat upon Jericho. People were staying safe, staying indoors, staying within the walls. Like cities in those days, they would have had watchtowers and guards on the walls that could see the surrounding countryside and see anybody that was approaching the city. Nobody outside was being trusted. So this is what Joshua was looking at. This city of Jericho from a strategic point of view. I want to say the walls of Jericho were massive structures. Its walls were designed to protect it from the strongest enemy attack. By the standards of that day, it was virtually impregnable. Its location was strategic. Its walls were high and thick. And you do come across cities like that in the Bible. Edom was like that. Edom was built on like a hillside, like a cliffside, with a narrow gorge. People could be seen approaching from miles. A part of Jeremiah, repeated in the book of Obadiah, gives a picture of Edom. And they thought they were safe and secure from all alarms. Those who had exalted, as high as the heavens, God said, shall be brought down to earth. And as someone has said, the higher you fall, the bigger the thump. And Edom was destroyed. So Joshua was looking at an impossible situation, humanly speaking. The apparent difficulty. But how often we are encouraged with such scriptures, and we do read them more than once Luke 18, verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And Joshua was looking at a situation, and came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he was looking, humanly speaking, with men, a situation that was impossible. But Joshua was one of those people who belonged to the God of the impossible, the God who makes things possible. Hebrews 11 verse 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So you see, emphasis is upon the walls. That's what Joshua could see. That's what he was taking a note of. How can these walls be scaled? What's going to happen here? How are we going to make progress here? And that's when this stranger appeared. Maybe there's a wall in your life. We often talk about walls in a figurative way. Sometimes you feel like banging your head of a wall. Now, you wouldn't do it literally, but it's a figure of speech, isn't it, that you just don't know what to do, and you just feel like banging your head of a wall. You've done other things, you've run out of options, and you just feel like banging your head of a wall. Or somebody or some situation drives up the walls. Or you go to the wall, or your back is against the wall. And we speak like that. It's a figurative kind of way. And here Joshua literally was looking at an impossible wall or walls. But faith can bring down any size of a wall. Psalm 18 verse 29, by my God I can leap over a wall. It's by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. We'll close with that soon. But somebody once wrote, I'm in a similar situation, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just that which no other can do. The apparent difficulty. But we see the reassuring Christophany. An interesting study throughout scriptures, those Old Testament appearances of Christ. A Christophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. A theophany is an appearance of God. We have a classic example of that in Genesis chapter 18, where Abraham is sitting at his tent door and three men are approaching, three men. And one of them is God. The other two are angels. Abraham makes them a meal. Imagine in Genesis chapter 18, God is having a steak. He comes down and walks the earth. And he has a steak, and the two angels have a steak, and then they go on because there was a fatted calf killed, and then they go off to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. And Abraham was left with the Lord. And he seeks to intercede for the inhabitants of Sodom. And you know the scriptures, if there are 50, if there are 40 and so on, come on right down to 10. The Lord will not destroy Sodom if there are 10 righteous found in it. There wasn't, so it was destroyed for its immorality, for its pride, for its selfishness. And you'll read about that in Ezekiel chapter 16. But that's a theophany, an appearance of God. A Christophany. And you can see Christ in that. Christophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. How do we know that this was Christ? Because he allowed himself to be worshipped. Verse 14. So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. What does that remind you of? What chapter does that remind you of? What other person does that remind you of? But Joshua's predecessor, Moses. Didn't the voice from the burning bush say exactly the same thing to Moses? "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." This man did not rebuke Joshua for worshipping him. This was no ordinary angel. Because any time in the Bible that those who sought to worship angels, they were rebuked. Revelation 19 verse 10, for example. John, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God.'" And look how Jesus is pictured here with Joshua. Is he the gentle Jesus, meek and mild? He's pictured as a warrior, as a soldier. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. This man was ready for battle. This man was going to lead the Israelites to defeat Jericho. And Joshua realized, yes, he may have been the human leader. He may have been the leader that the people saw. But Joshua knew that there was someone above him and someone ahead of him that was going to lead the people and to give them victory. The reassuring Christophany, the presence of Christ. And sometimes in our situations, how does the Lord appear to us in giving us aid? Here was a battle situation. And so the Lord appropriately appeared as a warrior to be alongside Joshua and the people. And one has said, our Lord always comes to us when we need him and in the way we need him. And the God of the Bible has a knack of tailoring the disclosures of his character to the various and particular needs of his people. He's the Lord of hosts. No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, or as the host of the Lord, am I now come? He's the captain of heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts. And this was holy ground because of God's presence. Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Moses was told exactly the same thing. The voice from the burning bush. And we'll look at that when Moses met Jesus. We'll look at that. And just these appearances, how the Lord guided Moses to, and Moses was there as a shepherd, to go back to Egypt and to shepherd Israel and to lead them out of Egypt and to head towards Canaan. So we see the apparent difficulty and the reassuring Christophany. The Lord is with his people. We will not see him visibly, but he's with his people. He indwells us. He empowers us. We see the divine strategy. Joshua may be looking here and thinking of his own way and drawing up his own plans, and the Lord draws near and says more or less to him, no, forget about your plans. You're going to do my plans. I know this better than you, Joshua. Here's how you're going to do it. You're going to do it my way. And again, from a human point of view, what a strange way it was. The divine strategy. Chapter 6 and verse 3. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. Seven priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, but the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up every man straight before him. And it seems that they were to walk round in silence until then. Joshua would never have come up with this. Nobody would have come up with this. Joshua would have got those who were able for battle just to charge the city and just to try and scale the walls. But Joshua had to wait. And this was the Lord's plan. So can you imagine the 7 days of the week? Say starting on the Sabbath, which was a Saturday, and they walked around once. Then the second day, Sunday, they walked around again. And then the Monday, the third day, just walking around. Just once. Maybe the same time. Maybe first thing in the morning. And this was going to be strange. And what size was Jericho? A study Bible that I have says that Jericho measured less than half a mile in circumference, about 7 acres. So it wasn't all that big a city. It measured less than half a mile in circumference, about 7 acres. So it wasn't going to be a walk that would take hours. So all the people walked around once, thousands of people walked around once, and maybe those guards on the wall are looking down and seeing all these people walk past. They come from the right and they walk and they disappear around the left, and what was that all about? And then the same thing happens the next day, and then happens the next day. And I'm sure the people of Jericho are wondering, what on earth is going on here? Then the fifth day and the sixth day, maybe they have got fed up watching them and they're ignored. Then comes the seventh day and they walk around seven times. This was the divine strategy. Jericho had never seen anything like this before. Armed men, seven priests, blowing ram's horns, the ark, the rear guard. Such was the caravan that circled Jericho each day and seven times on the seventh day. And the people of Jericho can't understand this. I wonder what's going on. But then the world doesn't understand Christianity. The world doesn't understand people of the Bible. It's a people that they would rather do without. It's a book that they would rather do without. Christianity is just in the road of the world. The world doesn't want Christianity. Doesn't want to hear preaching. Doesn't want to hear any objection to abortion or same-sex marriage. And, you know, just let them get on with it, you know. Don't voice any opposition. It doesn't understand the things of God. But then, the First Corinthians says that the natural man does not understand the things of God. There's foolishness to him. When Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "The blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's the meek who shall inherit the earth. I would have not a big interest, but I have read biography of Nazis and around the Second World War and Hitler and so on. And Hitler just hated the likes of the Beatitudes, and he hated Matthew 5 and verse 5, "The meek shall inherit the earth." He says it's not the meek. Meekness is weakness, is the way he put it. It's not the meek who shall inherit the earth, it's the likes of us. "The meek shall inherit the earth," Jesus said. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Now, of course, some wise are called, some mighty are called, some noble are called, but not many. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." When we do things God's way, that's when we have God's approval. That's when we have God's blessing. Joshua would never have come up with, do you know what? I think we'll walk around the city. We'll do it once tomorrow. We'll start tomorrow and we'll walk around it tomorrow once, and then we'll do it once the next day. We'll do it for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, we'll walk around 7 times and then we'll take the city. He would never have come up with that. This man guided Joshua. This man told him what to do. And you know, there was obedience. Joshua obeyed. He might have wondered, but he obeyed. And what was the result of his obedience? Not just do we see the apparent difficulty and the reassuring Christophany and the divine strategy, but we see the glorious victory. You see, where God was concerned, he could see what Joshua couldn't see. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. It doesn't say, see, I will give you Jericho. In God's eyes, Jericho had already been taken. The Lord was speaking in the past tense. I have given Jericho into your hand. I have given it. It's done. God is always ahead of us. I have given Jericho into your hand. And we see the glorious victory. Chapter 6, verse 15. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. I don't know if that was just, you know, did the sink into the ground? Or what? We don't know really. But the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. If the walls just sank into the ground, then the people just came over the top of them. You see, the people of Jericho, the walls were their security. And the Lord took away their security. The walls came down. You see, in chapter 2 and verse 1, he said to the spies, now Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho, or especially Jericho. Why was Jericho singled out? Go view the land, especially Jericho. We have to take Jericho first. Canaan has other cities. And sure, after Jericho there was Ai. There were other cities, but especially Jericho. We have to take Jericho first. It's the biggest obstacle. It's the gateway into Canaan. It's the obstacle on the path to progress. Then chapter 5 and 13, Joshua was by Jericho. He's wondering, how are we going to do this? But he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua had a Jericho, but he also had Jesus. And I'm sure in our lives, I don't know your background, you don't know mine fully either, but we have had our Jerichos. We have had our walls. But hasn't Jesus been there for you? To give you strength for the battle? To get you past your Jericho? To overcome those walls? To give you victory? The glorious victory. And there are obstacles for saints. There are obstacles for sinners. There are those things that are holding people back from trusting the Lord. But thankfully they come to realize that they don't need them. The Christian life is a life of victory. We're not to live defeated lives. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And Joshua's obedience resulted in victory. The apparent difficulty and the reassuring Christophany and the divine strategy and the glorious victory. And you know, hundreds of years later, in the book of Hebrews, you read of the lasting testimony. Hebrews 11 verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. What a week they had. 6 days walking round once, the 7th day walking round 7 times. What a week. What a walk around the city. But what a way. The way of faith. It's by faith the walls of Jericho. It wasn't by how brave the people were. It wasn't by their skills in warfare that they had. Because that would have meant that they did it. But it was by faith in God. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. As someone has posed the questions, what destroyed the city? Encompassing it 7 times? The blowing of trumpets? Shouting? No, none of these. By faith. Faith did it. Nothing else. Our writer does not say by faith Joshua or by faith the people. He only says by faith. The walls. Not that the walls had faith, but that there would be no natural explanation for what happened. Only God. God loves to defy natural explanations for what he does. So whenever you come across a difficult time in life, it's like a Jericho, it's like a wall. Think of Joshua, who was by Jericho, who lifted his eyes, and there was a man who stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand, a man whom Joshua worshipped. That's what Joshua did before engaging in this battle of Jericho. He worshipped this man. And Joshua asked him the question, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Might seem a strange answer, but it's as if the Lord is saying here, I Joshua, I'm here to tell you that you're on my side. You're on my side. Are you for us or for our adversaries? No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. I'm here to tell you that you're on my side. And the Lord is on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Joshua wouldn't have had that scripture, but we have it from Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? What can be against us? When Joshua met Jesus. May the Lord bless these thoughts from this to our hearts and minds. Just a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for these encouraging scriptures. And as we've observed, Lord, we can have our Jerichos, we can have our walls, but we thank you that we have the man who has a drawn sword. We have the Lord Jesus Christ with us as we journey through life. We don't know what we're going to meet. We don't know who we're going to meet. That will be a challenge to us in our Christian walk. But we thank you for that man who's at our side. Encourage us today, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And as we close, Psalm 89, verses 7 to 12. The great fear and meeting of the saints is due unto the Lord, and he of all about him should with reverence be adored. And it's the tune Newington. So Psalm 89, verses 7 to 12.